Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP, want to do weight loss. Structure, accountability, results, standard for weight loss in the area. It's emp1weightloss.com. Talk some fantasy football coming up at 8:20 with Dave Richard from CBS Sports to get a lineup question.
Like it.
You can give us a call at 8:20. But joining us right now, the head coach of the Washington Wizards. Nice win against the Clippers last night. It is head coach Scott Brooks. And Coach Brooks, you know what? Some of these days when we have you on, there's just nothing to talk about with you.
Yeah, there's nothing going
nothing
on.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing, huh? Nothing at all. Nobody's having fun around here.
So listen, it's crazy. And, you know, you talked about it. You've been in the league like 30 years as a player, assistant coach, head coach. And obviously it's a national story, right? Some guys have been upset. There's been some going back and forth. And we all get that kind of happens, right, on teams. We all read your statement. You guys talked about it. You apologized. You're trying to move on from it. But my question is, just here with the Wizards, have you had stuff like this happen in the previous years and we didn't know about it? You know, the Warriors won a championship last year, and the first thing out of their mouths was, man, you guys have no idea how crazy it was. Now we kind of can see, because it's kind of crazy now for them. But I'm wondering, have these kind of incidents happened with you guys in the previous years and we just don't even know?
Absolutely. It happens. It happens every year.
Right.
Every year. It's like every team I've been on, every year there's arguments. It doesn't always happen where it's physical. We haven't had that here, but I've had teams that I've been on that guys have gotten physical. I've been in fights before. It's just, it happened. It's two competitive guys or multiple guys. It's a competitive environment, and we're frustrated. Let's face it. We're not happy where we are. And it's everything is born out of frustration.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully, you know, I think the guys need to move on. And I think they did. Everybody said their piece. And, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to play better basketball. We're not playing well as a team. Last night was a good direction. I mean, going in the right direction, at least the second half. But we still got to play. We got a long ways to go.
Coach Brooks, how shocked were you when John Wall threw the F-bomb your way at practice last week? What was your initial reaction to it? I know you want to move on, but well, I mean, we feel like we have to dive into it a little bit.
I know. I was expecting it this morning. Well, we said a few things back at each other. And like I said yesterday, that we both wish we could have taken it back, and we have to move on. I mean, I respect him. I think he's a heck of a player. I love him. Like I said last night, he never complains about a lot of things that ache on his body. The guy's, sometimes I wonder how he's going to be able to practice today because he's banged up. But he comes back every day, you know. It's unfortunate it happened, but it did happen, and we move on.
But it was reported that the dispute was about effort, and that's something that fans are seeing. You know, in the first half yesterday, for example, you give up over 70 points, and it seems like guys are shooting threes. They're wide open. In the second half, it looked like a totally different team. What is it about the effort of this team that you want, and how do you get it to happen consistently?
Well, we have trouble stopping the basketball. We have trouble guarding the ball. We have to do a better job of closing out to the three-point line. Everybody has to take ownership on their own individual pride, and I have to do a better job of finding guys that are going to do that consistently, and we don't have guys that do that. We got to figure out ways we can move on from those guys, and we have to be diligent in our work. And guys, myself, the coaches, and the players, we all have to do our job, and we have to do it to the best of our abilities. And sometimes, you know, like last night, I've been frustrated with myself. I should be playing Thomas Sedoranski more often. The guy gives great effort. Mm-hmm. He cares about what he does. He leaves every forward. I expect him to play, you know, close to 20 minutes every night.
We're losing you here. Hopefully it fixes itself. Can you hear us, Coach?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Did I lose you guys?
Yeah, it's okay.
But you were talking about playing Sato Moore, and he gave you great minutes last night.
Yeah, you know what? He plays hard, and he plays for the team, and he cares. And I just have to figure out how I can play him more. I think I found it, and I am going to do it. I just you know what? He has played better recently. He didn't have a good start. He for some reason he didn't play with the confidence that I thought he was going to play this year, knowing that he played well last year. But now, I mean, it's both of us. We need to do a better job of. He needs to do a better job of believing in himself, and I need to give him more opportunity so he can do that.
I'm sure you don't know the answer, because if you knew the answer, it wouldn't happen. But why, after all the drama, right? We're literally we're one of the lead stories, right, across the country when you're talking about sports and talking about hoop. How does that start happen last night? You know, you're down 19-24 at one point, and then you come back and you have such a better effort in that second half. Was it something you said? Was it something the players said? Was it unsaid? What was the difference between the first half and the second half? How does the first half even happen? You would think you'd get that effort in the first half.
Well, you know what? We got great effort the first 5 or 6 minutes, and then they started making shots. And, you know, this is the frustrating thing about our start of the season. Hopefully we can get better at it. When we get down 4 or 5 points, it almost like automatically becomes 10. We get down 10, it automatically becomes 18. And we got to get away from that. We got to play desperate every possession like we played in the second half. And we've done that multiple times this year when we're down 20. Unfortunately, we're down 20, but we've come back and cut it to 1. You know, last night we come back and win the game. But it's we got to do better. At halftime, we've definitely showed them a bunch of clips and the things that we just gave them. We might as well just let them score and then just take the ball out of the basket. So that's how we were playing a couple of possessions or a lot of possessions in that first half.
Coach, I assume, I'm just curious, you're with these guys all the time. I assume John is the alpha male of that locker room. Is that true? So as far as, you know, however John is going, however his mood is, that's sort of how the team mood is going to be. Is that a fair statement?
Well, he's the leader, one of our leaders of our team. And I, you know, it's so easy to pinpoint things on the leaders, but I've always believed that you have to be a star in your role and you have to accept that role. And if you don't accept that role, it's hard for a team to function. Whether you play 10 minutes, 15 minutes or 0 minutes, you got to be not satisfied, but you got to give yourself to the team. And sometimes that's hard. And, you know, it's definitely hard with the way it is nowadays with things are out there so instantaneously and the money that's being, you know, made by players. So, but you have to get guys that are believing in the team, whether they play a minute or 30 minutes. And like John is one of our leaders. Brad is one of our leaders. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, their numbers are pretty good every night. And I'm not saying that they played well, but they played pretty good. But we have to all play better. You know, I think leaders lead, but teams are built on 15 guys. You know, we got 14 guys, so it's about guys stepping up and doing their roles and playing their roles. And we haven't shot the ball well individually. Guys got to start making some shots, and they're wide open.
Coach, which of the veterans is the most receptive to being coached? I assume all the young guys listen to you. They're hanging on your every word. They're just happy to be there. But of the core guys, the guys that are playing the most minutes, who do you know your message is being heard by, like, night after night? There's no question.
Well, I think all the guys, they understand we have a system in place, and they understand that we haven't played well, and they want to make sure that we do better. But I got a good relationship with all the guys. I mean, it's not always easy conversations. Just like the other night, I had a conversation with Markieff Morris that he wasn't going to be starting. I said, I don't know how long that will be, but it's going to be sometime, you know, the next couple of games. We're going to see how we play, and we're trying to spark something from not only from him but from our team. And I think he didn't play well in the first half, but he played better in the second half. But I think all the guys understand that we got to play better, and whether they accept what I tell them, that's beside the point. They got to do their job, and I got to do my job.
Coach Brooks, another move you made last night was Thomas Bryant starting at center. He gave you some nice minutes, 7 points, 3 boards, gave you an assist and a block. I'm a Wiz fan. I barely knew he was on the roster before last night, but he made an impact for the team.
He He did. You know what? I'm happy for him. My first game he's ever started, and first really significant minutes in an NBA game, and I thought he played well. You know, I like his upside. That's why I like his energy. I like his motor. We need motors, and we've had some slow starts, and we had a pretty good start, and he had a good start. We couldn't get them to miss some shots in that second part of that first quarter, but it had nothing to do with TB. TB came in and gave us great minutes, and you know, with Dwight being out, don't know how long that will be. Hopefully it's not too long, but if he's out for some time, I feel like we got a guy that can give us a nice little energy from that five spot.
Talking to Coach Scott Brooks from the Washington Wizards. So rumors come out that everybody is on the trading block, and I know that you're not the guy pulling the trigger. How do you deal with the team? How do the players deal with that? Maybe you dealt with it in your career when they think they could end up being shipped out.
Well, you deal with it. You know, we all have a job right now where I'm coaching and the players are playing for the Washington Wizards. And when you've been in this league, you understand that those things happen. And when you're playing and you have a bad start, you got to kind of expect that. You can't just expect everybody to, oh, you know what, things are good here. You know, we're not happy being 5-11, so, or 6-11 now. So you have to expect that, you know, things are going to be talked about. You know, we're always trying to improve our team. We're not like going out and looking to trade our best players, but we're going out and trying to figure out how we can get better as a group. And you know, that's Ernie's job, and my job is to coach the guys that we have on our roster.
Now it's hard to nitpick a guy who puts up 30 and leads you to a win last night, but I'll tell you this: looking at the box score, I don't like when John is taking 10 threes in a game. And I know he hit five of them last night. There was one possession where he shot two, missed both. I think Otto met him, missed one. It was like a possession. How do you deal with, you know, that kind of approach to the offense?
Well, I think when we make 3 to 4 passes, like a lot of teams in this league, we do that, we usually end up with a great shot.
Sure.
You know, last year, surprisingly, when our quick attack offense, we were really good. This year, we have not been good at all. So we've been focusing on the last couple of weeks in practice, you know, get some ball movement, get some spacing, and get some extra passing going on. And I think it's helped us offensively. Offensively, it really isn't our problem. We're averaging 112 or 13 a game. It's defensively. We can't stop anybody, and we got to make sure we can correct that, because once we get stopped like we did in the second half, we can put up 70 points in a half.
Who's your best defensive player of your starters?
Got to scan for that one.
I mean, John's great at blocking shots, but
that's not defense.
My thing about John, and you can comment,
from behind.
He's a great player. He's an unbelievable talent, 5-time All-Star. And John, you know, can block shots with the best of them, but then guys like Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell go off against him.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of times a lot of teams are setting small screens on each other, so you can they try to pick on the worst defender. So let's say, you know, you got a 1-3 pick and roll, and they know we're going to switch like every team does, and they do that. You know, James Harden's the key at that. He had actually point to the worst defender on the court and tell that guy to come set a screen so we can switch, and then he's going to attack the guy. So it's not necessarily who starts with the guy, it's who ends up with the guy. Mm. And Dinwiddie, no matter who was in front of Dinwiddie, he killed all of us. And we could not stay in front of him. And you know, he's a terrific talent. He's one of those tricky players that are hard to guard. But we haven't had a lot of good defensive possessions consistently. We play it in spurts, and that's why we are where we are. And hopefully we can change that around. But we have trouble staying in front of the basketball 1-5.
Coach Brooks, when you're enjoying your Thanksgiving meal tomorrow, are you going to give thanks to the schedule maker who's sending you guys to the Raptors on Friday, and then you come home Saturday, and Anthony Davis and company, the Pellies, are waiting for you?
When do you even go to Toronto? Do you get to do Thanksgiving here?
And 2 days later, we got the Rockets. Yeah, right. We get to do Thanksgiving here. We fly out at 4 o'clock.
And do you practice on Thanksgiving? Because I know the Caps are practicing on Thanksgiving, according to their coach.
No, we're practicing today, and then we're giving you guys the morning off and just meeting at the plane.
Gotcha.
Well, tell John no extra turkey. Come on. That's an easy one.
Turkey.
But you know what? You addressed that. You can, for a lot of people that missed it, yesterday you addressed that to the media about John being accused of being fat, and you said he's got 7% body fat.
He doesn't have 7% body fat.
He doesn't have gravy in his Gatorade bottle, does he?
7.2, maybe.
Wow. Wow.
Who's got the lowest on the team?
I don't know that. I think we have a couple of guys.
Dwight Howard.
Probably Kelly. Kelly or Dwight.
Howard? Yeah.
Well, what fat does Otto have?
Brad is probably low. I mean, all the guys are in pretty good shape.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right, Coach. We're giving you a hard enough time.
All right.
Hey, good luck. All right, you know, turn it around here. We're all rooting for you. This is no fun, man. We want to get off the national headlines.
And the truth is,
it's
I just looked at the standings. They're only like a game and a half out of the 8th seed in the East.
That's the crazy thing, right?
Yeah, not that far away. All right, thank you, Coach. We appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
guys.
You too, buddy.
You too.
Okay, pal.
All right.
We have some audio from John Wall.
And then I couldn't fit in the uniform.
I do think it's unfair because if he took off his shirt, you wouldn't say he was fat.
You know it. You've had 3,000 calories.
A little bloated and puffy. And he's an elite athlete. He's a world class. Yeah. He's drinking all the time.
When I was losing weight.
Look at AWOD. See what happens when you drink all the time?
When I was losing weight at the beginning of my career.
You know what?
Do you want to just be boring?
I was taking 30 laxatives a day.
3 laxatives a day? That's
said
a lot.
Richard Simmons?
I thought he said 30.
Yeah, I thought he said 30.
When I was losing weight at the beginning of my career, I was taking 30 laxatives a day.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I thought 3 was a lot.
Can you do me a favor? Can we Photoshop a face of AWOD's fat face and John's from that PR day?
Why don't we have
the media day?
You need to have digital set up a GIF of AWOD doing the Dougie, but John Wall's face on it.
With his body?
Yes, please.
Yeah, with his body.
Can we make all this happen, please?
Please.
I do know what we can make happen. Fantasy football talk next.
Dave
Richard typically joins us on Thursdays, but he's going to join us next from CBS Sports to give us some fantasy football advice. You have a lineup question, 800-636-1067.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, joins us at 9. We will talk Redskins Cowboys earlier in the show. We were speculating on how Colt McCoy will fare in his first start this season. But, of course, big fantasy football time the next couple of weeks. You get ready for your fantasy football playoffs. A lot of lineup decisions to make. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, you can check him out every day on Fantasy Football Daily, CBS Sports HQ. It's our fantasy guru, Dave Richard. Hey, Dave.
What's going on, guys? Day before Thanksgiving is always a busy one for me, doing my last-second research and everything before the games kick off. It's going to be a lot of fun. And the Redskins are involved on Thanksgiving Day, so I know you guys are sized for that.
Yeah, and I've got a big decision, and I guess I'm going to wait until the last second, but I got Mitch Trubisky, and I generally don't play him. I've got Deshaun Watson, but I kind of was leaning towards playing Trubisky if he was healthy, but I might just play it safe and go with Deshaun. What would you do?
Yeah, unless we hear that he's absolutely fine and definitely going to play, I think you've got to lean toward Deshaun. It's not an easy matchup for Watson. I would almost wonder if it would make sense for you to go and see if you can still get Jameis Winston off your waiver wire, because now that he's back in the saddle in Tampa Bay, and he's got a pretty good matchup this week home against the 49ers. I would take the chance on him ahead of both of those guys this week. I think he's got a chance to come through for fantasy owners, finish as a top 10 quarterback. He's starting to play for his career at this point. There's going to be a lot of teams looking for a quarterback this offseason, and if he plays well down the stretch, he might be the most popular one.
You mentioned Colt McCoy. I cannot start him in a regular, like, season-long league, but I could have my arm twisted into starting him in a DFS sweat on Turkey Day. What do you think about his prospects going to Dallas?
You know, he does not have very many games in his career with over 250 yards or with multiple touchdowns. I wouldn't trust it. I think the Cowboys' defense is actually pretty good. They just haven't been playing great lately. And you know that Washington's receiving corps is just so decimated. I can't trust Colt McCoy even on the Thanksgiving slate. I might go even cheaper than that and go with Chase Daniel instead.
Right,
that's obviously if Trubisky is out.
Right.
Let's go to the phones. A lot of people have questions. 800-636-1067.
Desperate degenerates the day before Thanksgiving.
I
like
it. I love it.
These are my people.
Yes.
All right. Here's our guy, Pastor Jacques. Number one. Lead him off. Go ahead, Jacques.
Hey, blessings to you and your families. It's an awesome time of year, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Jacques.
Hey, cuz, I have to give you some props first, serious props. Last week, I was going back and forth, Cousins or Fitz, and I was leaning Fitz, and you said, don't do it. He could throw an early pick or two and get benched, and I trusted my fantasy Sherpa, and man, that exact scenario played out, and that was the difference in beating our esteemed commiss, so thank you for that. This week, I got Lamar Jackson or Cousins or Jameis Winston, and I'm having a lot of trouble trusting Cousins.
And I have more trouble trusting Jackson, especially after seeing just how poorly he threw the ball last week. Listen, as a runner, the guy accelerates like a Tesla. He's unbelievable when he's out there. But John Harbaugh is talking about, first of all, he's talking that maybe Joe Flacco plays, which would completely eliminate the entire Lamar Jackson question from the conversation. Two, he's talking about Lamar Jackson can't run as much as he did. He basically had 24 runs last week, 3 kneel downs on top of that. I don't want to trust him. I think Cousins will be okay this week against the Packers. Their secondary is beat up. Their pass rush is starting to fall off just a little bit, but I would still go with Winston against the 49ers. Just the track record of Bucks quarterbacks this season. There's going to be turnovers along the way. You've got to expect him to have at least 2 of them. But he's going to have at least 2 touchdowns and over 300 yards on top of it. He's got the highest ceiling of the 3. Well, thank you.
Good luck, Jock.
Thank
Happy
you,
Thanksgiving.
Buddy.
Dave, I'm kind of grasping, but I'm streaming the Bills defense at home against Blake Bortles and company. Do you like it or do you hate it?
I absolutely like it.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I think it's just okay. But you remember how that playoff game went between the Bills and the Jaguars in January? It's like the opposite of the Monday Night Football game that we just saw between the Chiefs and the Rams. Low scoring, grinded out defensive struggle with absolutely nothing doing on offense in that game. I think it was finished at like 10-3. I think this is going to be a game similar to that. Love the Jaguars defense going up against Josh Allen and the Bills, whose offense has gone backward after last year. But Buffalo's defense is in the top 12 for me. They're a pretty decent unit. They're scrappy. Jacksonville's offensive line is in real bad shape. Bortles has lost his confidence. The only thing Jacksonville can do is run the ball with Leonard Fournette. And I think they'll be fine doing that, but that's all they're going to do in the game. I would be stunned if there were more than 24 points scored in the game. So both DSTs are absolutely in play.
Dave, what's the latest update on Tre'Quan Smith? Monster game this past weekend, but he didn't practice yesterday with a foot issue.
He was actually limited in practice on Tuesday. On Monday, he didn't practice, but the entire Saints team didn't practice. I'm expecting him to play. I don't think he's going to get quite as many targets as he had on Sunday against Philadelphia, but this is a great matchup for him. It's a great matchup for all the Saints. And when you boil it down, it's as simple as this. This is the number 2 receiver in a Saints offense piloted by Drew Brees in an MVP season. Saints defense is getting better. The Falcons defense is trash. You can expect Tre'Quan Smith to have a chance at putting up good fantasy numbers. So I like him as a top 30 receiver this week.
This one from Alex, who tweets us at Junks Radio. Larry Fitzgerald or Jordan Reed?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I think I'm going to go with Fitzgerald. It's only because he's going to get more targets than Reed, and he's been a little bit more dependable than Reed. Both of them could struggle to find the end zone this week, but I'll go with Fitzgerald expecting more catches and yards.
All right, let's go to Brian in Suitland. Brian, you're on with Dave Richard, CBS Sports.
What up, fellas? Dave, PPR, Tariq Cohen, Joe Mixon, or Dalvin Cook, and I also get points for punt return yards.
I would go with Mixon at the top of that list against Cleveland. It's a pretty decent matchup for him. And now that if A.J. Green plays, the dynamics of that entire Cincinnati offense changes, and defenses
also
have to play Joe Mixon differently.
I also have A.J. Green. Should I play him if he's starting?
We're going to get the first practice report from Cincinnati today. The expectation is that he plays. We ranked him this week, so we're expecting him to go.
All right, my man. Appreciate it, bro.
All right, thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Let's go to Adam Manassas. You're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, fellas.
What's up?
I have standard league. It's Drew Brees or Tom Brady.
How do you sit Drew Brees at this point? He's just been playing so well. And remember, I think Brady bounces back this week. I'm not going to say that he's a bad start. I think he's a top 12 guy. But Brees is my number one quarterback against Atlanta. I just see him lighting them up.
Yeah, you can't sit Brees.
Hard to sit Brady. But when you've got both those guys and, you know, one of them hasn't been a top 12 quarterback in his last three games, it's kind of obvious where you're going to go.
Right.
Mike tweets us, drop Deshaun Watson versus the Titans or Mayfield versus Cincinnati?
I'm going to go with Watson. Mayfield is one of my favorite sleepers this week, but I think there's just more upside with Deshaun Watson.
All right, let's go to John Fairfax. John, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your families.
Same to you.
You too.
I got a running back conundrum. I need 2 of 4, Mark Ingram, Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones, and Marlon Mack. Sorry, forgot the last one.
Yeah, I would go with Fournette and Aaron Jones. Really impressed by what we've seen from Aaron Jones the last couple of weeks, and I think the Packers are too. Tough matchup against the Vikings, but he can do work in the passing game as well. And he's been running at like 5 yards per clip. Mm. Really just impressive in the backfield there for Green Bay, and I think he's going to continue to see a lot of work there. And Fournette's been just grinding huge numbers, and I would expect that to continue.
Good luck, John.
All right, let's go to James Elkridge. James, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, happy holidays, fellas.
Same to you.
Hey, Dave, I need 2 of 4. I got Mark Ingram, Deion Lewis, Lindsey, and Tyler Boyd.
Is it PPR or non-PPR?
Half PPR.
Okay. Lindsey is unbenchable at this point. He's just been playing so well for Denver. I've got an inkling that Mark Ingram is going to keep up doing what he's doing, even against Atlanta. Their run defense is better than their pass defense. I would be tempted to put Boyd in ahead of him, but if it's only half PPR, I don't think you're going to get as much boom for your buck. So stick with Ingram.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Good luck.
And let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what's up?
What's up, Junk?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave, I'm at the golf course getting pummeled by a frost delay right now, but I need 2.5 PPR.
Sucks.
I got Jarvis Landry, Theo Riddick, DJ Moore, and Matt Valdes-Scantling.
I'm going to go with Landry and Moore. And I wouldn't lose too much faith in Valdes-Scantling. I do think that he will have some opportunities, probably as soon as this week, to get more catches and make more plays in Green Bay. They'd be dopes to not use him a little bit more. 6'4", and he can fly down the field, and they're using him on short crossing routes. It's ridiculous what they're doing. So he's not someone you should drop, but he's someone you can't bench given your other guys.
This is Matt Valdes.
By the way, good idea to tee it up when it's like 38 degrees. Bad life choice by you.
All right, we ready for the speed round?
I think we are.
Tweets here on the speed round before we go to get to the calls. Brady versus the Jets or Ryan versus the Saints?
Ryan.
Need to start one. Deshaun Jackson, Amendola, or Corey Davis?
I think it's Deshaun. If Mariota's hand is okay, then it's Davis.
All right, remember, you're limited to one question. There are no trade questions, no dumb questions allowed, no small talk. It's Dave's way or the highway. No Bluetooth or smartphone because, hello, we are civilized and we have standards.
Hmm. All right, let's go to Heather. Speed round, go.
PPR, I need to play 1. Josh Adams, Gus Edwards, Jalen Richard, or Isaiah Crowell.
Adams.
All right, let's go to Dante. Speed round, go.
PPR, 2 of 3. Riddick, Carson, or Josh Adams?
I couldn't hear the first name. I didn't know who it was.
Riddick. Theo Riddick.
Oh, okay. Sit Riddick.
Let's go to Brad. Speed around. Go.
Roethlisberger or Winston?
Ben.
Vic, Gaithersburg, go.
Standard, start 2 of 3. Barkley, James White, or Philip Lindsay?
I'm sitting White.
Chuck, Hyattsville, go.
Mixon or Aaron Jones, PPR?
Jones.
Lamar, speed round, go.
James or Russell?
Russ.
George, speed round. And let's go to our guy. We missed him last week, John from Mechanicsville. Hey, John.
Hey, Dave Ulick. I'm in a PPU league. I get points per upgrade. What's a bigger upgrade, when the Rams upgraded from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay, or when Amy Epstein upgraded from Maury to Steve?
So inside. I so, wish you could follow
me,
Dave.
So inside. It really took good. Me 5 minutes to figure
very
that out.
Very good.
All right.
Hey, Dave.
Steve is pounding it.
Dave, is Zach Zenner a good deep dart throw tomorrow?
Who is this?
Zach Zenner.
No, terrible. What do you think?
I had to sneak it in there.
All right, you can always tweet him at Dave Richard. Hey, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, have a great Thanksgiving, man.
Nothing consumes the fantasy spirit, the Thanksgiving spirit, more than John DePapa calling in at the end of the speed round. Yes. Just with so much love in his voice, it's amazing.
Absolutely.
Guys, happy Thanksgiving. Good luck in your league.
You
weekend.
Too, pal.
Same to you.
Thank you, buddy.
The John DePapa call at the end of the speed round, it's a tradition.
He wanted to quit.
We celebrate tradition.
And he quit for a while, but he got browbeat by some P1s.
We're glad that he's back.
To be back in the mix.
You're always welcome back.
A lot of pressure to come up with the new shtick. By the way, we had Scott Brooks on earlier in the show. We actually have Wizards tickets to give away.
Ooh.
Right now, we will hook up the 10th caller at 800-636-1067 with two tickets to see your Washington Wizards take on the Brooklyn Nets. It's December 1st at Capital One Arena. Tickets still available through Ticketmaster.com or the Capital One Arena box office. It's courtesy of the Washington Wizards and Monumental. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contest. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Mike Florio, the founder of Pro Football Talk and host of PFT Live on NBC Sports, going to join us at 9. We'll get back into Redskins Cowboys. But earlier, Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, joined us, presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialist in personal injury law. And Cakes went where didn't necessarily expect him to go, and that was just straight up asking him the FU question.
Coach Brooks, how shocked were you when John Wall threw the F-bomb your way at practice last week? What was your initial reaction to it? I know you want to move on, but we feel like we have to dive into it a little bit.
Well, I know. I was expecting it this morning. Well, we said a few things back at each other, and like I said yesterday, that we both wish we could have taken it back, and we have to move on. I mean, I respect him. I think he's a heck of a player. I love him. Like I said last night, he never complains about a lot of things that ache on his body. The guy's sometimes I wonder how he's going to be able to practice today because he's banged up. But he comes back every day. You know, it's unfortunate it happened, but it did happen, and we move on.
And Coach Brooks talked too about, you know, fights happen all the time in practice, not necessarily from the player to the coach, but you get heated, your competitors. And I like how John responded yesterday, had a big game. Hopefully it lights a fire. Maybe all this trade talk, rumors, Stephen A. Smith, anonymous sources, Bradley Beal, all this stuff. And John just starts playing harder.
Yeah, but one of the quotes that came out of that incident still kind of disturbs me. I think it's been underplayed. This is from John Wall. He said, quote, "I don't know if honesty was reached. We both felt like there was stuff we shouldn't have said. We both kind of interrupted each other when we were having conversations. That's basically it. I don't know if honesty was reached." So there's still a lot underlying here.
Well, even last night, Beal said he still wasn't happy.
Yeah.
You know,
well, how can you be happy when you're 5-11 now, 6-11, and you're underperforming?
Well, Beal said it's one game. Still a lot of stuff to fix. It's one game.
Right.
Hopefully, you'll start getting the effort that they had in the second half on a more consistent basis. Also, Coach Brooks was asked. Actually, I don't even know if he was asked. I asked him about the whole John Wall shape thing. And Cake slid in a line, a zing, which I think was from Valdez.
100%. It was from the Valdez Zing Lab.
But you snuck it in.
I did, yes.
Listen to how Coach Brooks dealt with it.
Well, tell John no extra turkey. Come on. That's an easy one.
Turkey.
But you know what? You addressed that. You can, for a lot of people that missed it, yesterday you addressed that to the media about John being accused of being fat, and you said he's got 7% body fat.
He doesn't have 7% body fat.
He doesn't
fat.
Have gravy in his Gatorade bottle,
seven,
does he?
7.2, maybe.
Wow.
He's got the lowest on the team.
I don't even think Coach Brooks heard it because he was.
Yeah, he didn't pay attention.
He was trying to answer the initial question.
And you were just doing your thing, too.
And Coach
just wanted to get the zing out.
Yeah, of course. Well, to pull back the curtain,
yeah.
Valdez comes up with
radio
goes,
insider
in my ear. He goes, "Does he have gravy in his bottle, in his Gatorade bottle?" And I kind of chuckle about it. I think you can hear it on the clip. And Valdez is going, "Say it. Say it. Say it to Coach Brooks. Say it."
I could tell. I could tell. Kate's like this.
He's beating me down. So yeah. I'm just looking.
Snuck it in.
I'm just looking for a spot.
Let me tell you something. If you twist Cakes's arm hard enough, he will do whatever you ask.
Not always, but look, I did it because it was. I thought it was funny, and I thought it had some comic value, so I did it.
Well, EB let off with the don't have meat too much turkey.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah, it was a perfect segue.
Thank you.
Turkey, yes. Gravy's in.
Yes.
It's almost Thanksgiving. Of course.
Stuffing. We just didn't get the stuffing.
It's called synergy. It all's kind of working together.
And, of course, Coach Brooks joins us every Wednesday. Actually, every other Wednesday, presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialists in personal injury law.
Radio insider.
I don't know. Coach Brooks handles it well.
He's a good sport. He's
we
a good
speculate
dude.
How he would deal with being fired. I mean, he just sounds like he's got a lot to deal with, a lot of personalities. Unfortunately, they're underperforming.
Well, I thought
it does
very
almost seem like he'd be relieved if he was fired.
Oh, of course.
I know
he
what
would
he's
be.
Not
he's
having.
Thrilled.
He's not having fun coaching the Wizards right now. No. It's not a fun gig. Now, every 2 weeks it's fun when he gets that big fat paycheck. Then it's fun. But the day in, day out disaster that he's dealing with at this point, not fun. He is not having fun coaching this team.
I thought it was telling, too, though, when we asked him, like, who's your best defender? You know, if you're starting five. He literally was stumped.
Right. Well,
he
if you just go through it.
It was like crickets.
If you go through it, like, if Dwight Howard's there, you might say Dwight Howard because he's former defensive player of the year, but he's not what he used to be. Still a good rebounder, block occasional shots, but nobody would say Markieff Morris is a great defender.
No.
Nobody would say John is a great all-around defender, blocks shots well. Bradley Beal, he's fine, but he's not like a standout. And Otto, I mean, they just don't have somebody that, like you say, that guy can lock people down.
Of the elite teams, do they have one standout defender, the elite teams?
Oh, like Golden State has Draymond Green, and Draymond Green is always considered one of the Defensive Player of the Year candidates. Houston doesn't. Although Chris Paul's known as a pretty good defender. Toronto. Toronto has Kawhi. Kawhi's a really good defender. So maybe those teams do.
Right.
Because you can pluck somebody else. Who else are the top teams in the league? You know, New Orleans is a really good team this year. I don't know. Is Anthony Davis a good defender?
Should be.
That team just scores a ton. They recently scored 140. That's the way the league is gone. There's not.
Oh, well, they've. It's, what are they going to put up on the Wizards when they play on Saturday?
It's not,
might score 150.
It's not like we were growing up and like Michael Jordan was a great defender and you had guys like Gary Payton.
There aren't that many great defenders in 2018 NBA.
Yeah.
There just aren't.
Guys specialize in knocking down bombs. Like Samuel came in here and shot 40. He's not a lockdown defender, but he can put up 40 on you.
You know, real quick, I just want to get back to the notion of. What's going to happen this week, you know, with Colt down the stretch in these last six games or so. And, I mean, there's no denying it. We've said it a million times. Alex Smith, a great guy. But the fact is, he's 25th ranked quarterback for qualified guys, right? 27th in touchdown passes, 24th in completion percentage, 26th in yards per game. I mean, you could go on and on. And for people to think that Colt's not going to improve upon that, I think it's just crazy. Yes, Alex doesn't have the weapons that he had in Kansas City, but you know, when Kirk was here last year, and believe me, I'm no huge, huge Kirk guy at this point, but Kirk had Terrell Pryor and Ryan Grant and basically the same donks, okay? And Kirk was the 12th ranked quarterback last year. He was 8th in touchdown passes. He was 9th in completion percentage. He was 10th in yards per game. So I definitely think Colt McCoy has the assets to get more production out of the offense.
Maybe.
I really do.
Maybe.
I don't think the weapons are what's holding Alex Smith back. Alex Smith held Alex Smith back.
Kirk had not a ton of Chris Thompson, but he did have Chris Thompson in many games, and Chris Thompson was a dynamic
player. Those guys
have
been hurt all the time. Crowder, Thompson, those guys always get hurt every year. Jordan Reed. So the same donks, basically.
But Chris Thompson played more than he's played this
year. Yeah, and then he broke his leg in the ninth game.
Yeah, but he's butt fragile. Yeah.
I understand that. I'm just saying he did have a dynamic Chris Thompson for a few more games.
Yeah, right. And I hope that we do down the stretch.
But by the same token, Alex had Jordan Reed more than what
Kirk Cousins had.
Yeah. I basically think it's a wash. Like, last year's weapons were basically what they were, and this year's kind of the same cast of characters.
Yeah,
and
it's going to be interesting to see what happens
guys.
On the injury front. This was his best guess, but our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, sends us kind of a daily email. And he said, best guess, he believes Chris Thompson will play Trent Williams and Quentin Dunbar. He believes they all will play, doesn't think Jameson Crowder will play.
Well, he thinks Thompson will play because if it's up to Jay, Jay's going to throw him out there.
Right. Well, right. Why wouldn't you?
Right. Well, maybe you want to try to hold
him
out.
See if he can go. If he can go, great. If not, just hold him out.
It's a huge game. Like, it's only been a couple days since they last played. This for first place. If you beat the Cowboys, you now have a two-game lead on them, and you've got the tiebreaker on them. It's huge.
It's a massive game.
By the way, I don't know how the players do it with the quick turnaround. I feel like I'm barely able to digest a football game on a Thursday. Just watching it.
Right.
Just watching it. Like, it throws off my routine so much to have a game, like three games in the middle of the week. But these guys are actually playing in the games and getting beaten up on every single play. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they go from playing on Sunday to being ready to play again on Thursday.
And I think the
that
toughest
quick turnaround
is your running backs. You know, I heard somebody saying that Zeke, who had 29 total touches in the game, estimated that he was hit like 100 times. Because a lot of times you get hit by multiple tacklers.
Sure.
Sure. I can't fathom it. I can't fathom
it. And so he had a short week from...
That's why these guys last a couple years at best.
Right.
You know, and only the freaks can last longer.
You know, your receivers are not taking as much punishment, but you know, their hammies will get sore and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. It's brutal, the turnaround. But they're going to have to find a way. Because I hated that whole narrative of last week that, this game against Texas is not really that important.
That.
It's not in the division. It's not an NFC game. Not that big a deal.
No,
the
every
real
game's
big. Every game is big. Every single freaking game is big. And now this one's even bigger because we lost last week.
You know, I did look at, I was hyping up Dallas maybe a little too much on their defense. You know, they did hold Atlanta at 19 points, but Matt Ryan did throw for 291. And the week before that, Carson Wentz threw for 360.
Right. And I told you Deshaun Watson threw for like 375.
Colt 300. Here we go.
Hey, look, Colt's going to have a good day passing. He's
going
to have a good day passing. He'll probably throw it to them once or twice, but he's going to have a good day passing.
I gave you his line, 18 for 27, 210 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, I think the 210 is way
low. 210's low.
That's very, very low.
I don't know why
you
think he's going to come
that's
out
very
slinging.
Alex
because
Smith-ish.
He's going
they're still
going to
gonna try to run the rock with Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
They're still going to pass it, too. Jay can't get away from it. Unless they're remarkably successful.
He'll pass, drop back 27 times.
Yeah, he'll throw.
My prediction.
He'll throw for more than two. If he drops back 27 times and completes 18 or 20 of them, I think he'll do more than that.
All right, we will talk more Redskins Cowboys coming up next. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com and NBC Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.